Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our service men and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Feel weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Askew.
That would be a little weird.
What I said.
Askew.
Just
I have no idea there was an Askew, Mississippi.
Askew, Mississippi. It's in, you want to guess?
It's in the Pine Belt.
It is not. It is in Panola County.
Okay, way off.
Yeah. It is between the thriving communities of Crenshaw and Buxton.
I'm going to guess it's like Askew.
It might be. It might be Askew, but.
But it's a lot more fun to say Askew.
It is. So that's what I go with. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you are cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. And if you want to go a step further with that, I mean, we got nothing going on this Saturday. You know, you got an early game, which means, you know, you, a little light lunch. Put a big old brisket out there on the smoker and enjoy it. Super Bowl's coming up, too. That's prime time for cooking out. Make beef part of your recipes. And, hey, if it's cold outside, if you want to warm up, big pot of chili, big pot of beef stew. Everything is better with beef. So get it. Hit it today at the grocery store. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thank you to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. I know you're looking for it. I know you need new gear. All right, you're tired. You're wearing that same old tired polo that's been, you know, with you for so long. It's time to find something new. So get it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. We're coming up on Valentine's Day, fellas. Start making those plans and make your plans to be at Restaurant Tyler for a fantastic meal. You don't need a special occasion to eat at Restaurant Tyler, but it certainly doesn't hurt to have one either. So make your reservations today to enjoy a fantastic meal over at Restaurant Tyler this Valentine's Day. Priority One Bank, 16 locations ready to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only where they're located, but they'll show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers, you want them quick, you want a level of service you're not going to get at those big corporate banks. You need it, the kind of down-home service you get at a bank like Priority One Bank. They know how to value you as a customer. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Before we go any further, I tweeted about this earlier, but we do have an opening here on Thunder and Lightning for advertising. So if you're interested in having your business be a part of the Thunder and Lightning family, and for Robbie and I to come up with something funny about your business, as we have done for so many others, and to help you grow your business, as we have done for a lot of people, email me today, heydad@supertalk.fm. We'll get you the rates, get you in touch with the right people, and you can be a part of the Thunder and Lightning podcast. Also today on the podcast feed, I have an interview I did earlier today with Emily Smarr. She covers Alabama basketball for the Tuscaloosa News. Didn't want to put that on the rumblings, but it is on the podcast feed, so you can get a little preview of tonight's big matchup between Alabama and Mississippi State. So check that out today. Got a lot of announcements here today. It feels like we're at school.
Yes. Well, that's we're always teaching people something.
Are we? Are we teaching or are we learning? I think we learn more than we teach.
Well, sometimes we teach ourselves.
It's true. So,
I don't know if that makes any sense.
I didn't do that right. Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, work is hard.
I've had in the back of my mind, I've been planning this,
Yeah.
but now I'm ousting myself on it. In the moments where you're doing the
Just
I've
gonna
thought
try
about just
something.
going off and just telling a story so out of left field that it
See
makes
if I
no
catch it.
sense. Like I was thinking the other day, like I'm just be like, and then what I really think Mississippi State needs to do is Cam Matthews needs to get on a pterodactyl, and he needs to jump on its back, fly through the hump, around the sections, and then go dunk the basketball over. And you're sitting there, Sounds
Well,
good.
we'll see if you can make it happen. Let's see if you can slide one past me. Make it happen. So,
No,
isn't
I
that
can't do it
right?
now because you're going to be looking for it.
Isn't that right, Mr. Scream? Ah, it's been a while since I've done that. Bobby and I used to pull that out like every other month or something. That was fun. So good. I'm glad you've got that in the arsenal. Joel didn't have it.
I'm gonna have to let it burn for a little bit. I'm
Oh
gonna
yeah,
have to
you
let it
can't come back
simmer.
tomorrow and do it. No.
No, I will bring it up at some point
I
when you
can't
least
wait. I'm
expect
excited
it.
to see if I notice it or not. All right. Let's dive into the rumblings. The rumblings are brought to you by our good friends over at Paul Davis Restoration, Golden Triangle, Tupelo. When disaster strikes, you need a name you can trust. Paul Davis Restoration is here to help you recover from water, fire, mold, storm. Cam Matthews with 8 turnovers and no points. Whatever the disaster is, Paul Davis is there for you. Their expert team provides fast professional service to restore your home or business to its original condition. And they don't just stop at restoration. They offer property improvement services to make your space better than ever. Paul Davis Restoration, because your recovery and property improvement are their priorities. Give them a call, 662-769-7285. Let them bring your property back to life. Golden Triangle or Tupelo, Paul Davis Restoration. All right, let's jump into these questions. Davis Medford, if we could add one player from the Ben Hall, I think he meant to say Ben Hallen era to this year's basketball team, who would it be? From the Ben Hallen era, I'm going to
Lamar
go
Peters.
a true point guard. That's where you're going to go.
Yeah,
So we have somebody later in the rumblings ask a similar question, but I'm going to go ahead and get. Let me see if I can find it real quick because it's kind of that same thing. They're asking. Oh yeah, they ask if you could add Peters, Nick Weatherspoon, or Iverson Molinar. And when I get to this question, I will credit the person. Who do you add? You go Peters over Molinar?
a little different player. That's interesting. Peters was more facilitator.
Yeah. Better shooter too. When he got hot, I
I
mean,
don't know,
he
man.
played hot.
Molinar's a good pick. Because he was probably a more well-rounded player, a little more
Yeah.
controlled. Peters was kind of
Peters, you could get it going.
eclectic.
Yeah.
He could go off for 25 points.
Or he
He could
could
turn the
shoot
ball
three of
over six,
12.
seven
Yeah.
times. You just didn't really know. But he,
I definitely
him
don't
on this
want
team would be
Weatherspoon
pretty
because
fun.
Weatherspoon doesn't solve your problem. He's another non-point guard playing point guard.
Yeah.
Good player.
He could handle it, but I think you're looking for a true point guard and also a guy that can score too and not just a
Let me
facilitator.
throw one more at you. Not as much of a score, but a good but IJ Reddy.
Yeah, solid. I wouldn't put him
Solid.
ahead of those two.
I wouldn't either, but just a thought there. So okay.
Yeah.
I think I'd go
And I just
Molinar.
don't think like you could put a Reggie Perry on this team,
Oh.
but and that would be great. He'd be
Really
rebounding his
good.
butt off, double-double machine. I still don't think it solves your issues. I think you can get away with not having
You need a
a low
point.
post threat at
You
this
need a
point.
one. Yeah, I
I
agree.
think you need a point guard.
I agree. True Maroon asks, what's up with Kanye Clary? I'll hang up and listen. I mean, you didn't listen the previous four times we've talked about it. Why is this time going to be different?
We did an entire show on that, did we not?
I believe pretty close to it. Yeah.
Or like a whole segment at the very least.
I've talked about it many times. So he's
Again,
interested.
like I don't think anybody listened when I said that day. Just don't expect him to return. Just get in your head, he's not coming back. He's
Yeah.
not going to play this year and may never play at Mississippi State again. And if he does, if it ever comes up that he takes the court with Mississippi State again, it's
It's
a
just a
huge
bonus.
surprise
Yeah.
and everybody's happy. But if you get in your mind, hey, don't expect them.
So just so I
You're
point this
good.
out, you get on me for not listening. Our entire audience isn't listening.
I'm getting onto them too.
Okay. Making sure. Rob Hadaway, corollary to Brian McDuff's recent question, when the Hulk snapped everybody back, as we saw in Spider-Man Far From Home, they reappeared where they were when Thanos snapped them. So the people on airplanes came back just to plummet to their deaths? So if they come back, first of all, I haven't seen Spider-Man Far From Home. So
very good. Very good.
I never got into the new Spider-Man stuff for whatever reason. Not that I don't like the movies. I just need to watch them.
And you're not a big Marvel guy either, are you?
No, I like Marvel, but I am more of a DC guy. But I just never watched them for whatever reason. So if they snap them back at the moment that they left, the pilot's just right there. He's right there. He just grabs the wheel and he's good to go. I think they're okay. I think everybody's okay.
Yeah.
So,
but first of all, they never thought through that stuff because they didn't think that Rob Hadaway was going to come in and use the word corollary, first of all. And secondly, talk about, you know, what about the dude driving down the street?
Because
the only thing you really think about in that world is what happened to Vision and what happened to, you know, Captain America, all those people.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's...
Vision didn't get to come back. I didn't realize that.
He sacrificed himself.
Yeah, he's out. Yeah, so... let's see here. Also from Rob, just watch the first Netflix episode of Raw. Isn't the obvious solution to Hulk Hogan getting booed to pay for Voodoo Child and let him come out as Hollywood and heal out? Yes. That makes too much sense to bring back Hollywood Hogan.
It would have been awesome had he been like, you know what? He just replayed that Bash of the Beach.
Yeah.
You know what? I have given my entire life, my existence for you people. And after everything that we've been through, after everything that I've done over the
years,
you're
going to boo me?
You're going to sit here and boo me? You freaking marks? Are you kidding me?
I would have loved to hear Hogan call people marks. I would lose.
Do you remember the tweet he tweeted out
like
several years ago? He was like, I hope everybody had a good night, especially you freaking marks, losers or whatever. Like, he just went off on like all the internet wrestling community.
As far as I'm concerned, all this trash.
Yes.
I was right when I said that.
That's what the only person I care about in this building standing right next to me, Jimmy Hart, is the only person that's ever cared about me, that has truly believed in me. All you people have blown through like the wind, and I don't have anything for you anymore. That would be awesome. Rips off his shirt. You know, like I probably don't need to take the do-rag off because he looks like he's 90 years old. But, you know, like, he should have embraced that and just rolled with it.
No, I agree.
But he, like, I think he truly was not expecting it.
No, nobody was. Nobody was.
You know, he's got his new beer out or whatever, and he was going to try to, like, peddle that.
Real American beer. God. All right, Colton Watson, I wasn't ready for questions because of the short rumblings turnaround, so I'll just ask, why?
Because why? Don't make the rules, Colton. And I'm tired of these excuses, too.
You want to be treated like a superstar?
We don't need to hear these excuses.
You better give me superstar effort. That's what I'm saying.
You need to be ready at all times because we can't just continue through the same mundane trudge.
I'm not here to cater to you, all right? That's what I'm saying. All right. When was the last time State had four Saturday Hoops sellouts in a row? Assuming Bama becomes a sellout, can State sell out every home game this year? Yes or no? No. I mean, there's got to be another weekday game. I don't know.
Well, your cousin said that there's no more Saturday home games. I did not know that.
Is that correct?
That's what he said.
Let's see here.
The schedule was available to everybody. I can't imagine him saying that.
Well, I mean, people say stuff all the time. You can say whatever you want. All right.
Florida will be a sellout.
Let's see here. A&M Florida is a Tuesday. A&M is a Tuesday. I think he's right. LSU. No, LSU at Starkville's on a Saturday.
What was your cousin talking about?
Yeah, March 1st, Saturday, LSU.
Your cousin lied. They all have a chance to be sellouts.
They all have a chance. I don't know if they all will sell out. Like,
you know, like LSU, that's going to be a baseball weekend, I imagine. I haven't looked at the schedule.
March 1st. Yeah, they're in town. Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure. That's not the Texas tournament, is it?
Actually, maybe it is.
I'm looking. So March 1st. No, that is they are out of town that weekend. That's the one that's where they're in Houston.
Well, still should be a good crowd.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
You know, I don't even know if Bama will sell out. It's just the 8 p.m. on a Wednesday is tough.
It's tough.
I feel like they do that a lot with this game.
It has been a later game, yes. I agree.
And on a Wednesday.
Yeah. So.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
It still should be a great crowd, I imagine.
How does Sam Purcell address turnovers this offseason? They're a multi-year systemic problem that I don't think can be fixed midseason. Really bad loss for them last night. Really bad.
What sucks about that is kind of cruel. They had 6 turnovers in the first quarter, and the rest of the game they had 6 turnovers.
Yeah.
So they weren't turning the ball over very much at all. They were protecting the basketball, and they turned it over on the last possession, and it led to the game-winning bucket. So, like, it's just – even when – like, this was one of their better games taking care of the basketball in SEC play. It might have been their second best or maybe their best. I think they had 12, so I think 11 might have been their best. But they took care of the basketball fairly well. I thought against Auburn, they ended up having 18, 19 turnovers in that game, but they had like 9 in the first quarter and really got a hold of it. So they appear to be controlling it a little better. It just is what it is, I think, at this point. I think that's just Sam Purcell runs an offense that's more like letting everybody play freely, and that's what you have when you let everybody play freely. They're just kind of running around, drawing defenders and kicking it, and the passes they're making are just not very crisp, and that's the issue that I think they're having more than anything. It's not like they're getting their pocket picked or anything like that. They're just making bad passes or ill-advised passes.
Yeah.
But they also make some spectacular passes. It's like home run – like or not, a home run or strikeout, pretty much. So that's kind of the biggest issue I see with them, and I just, until we see it fixed, I don't know if it will be fixed. It just kind of comes with the territory and the offense that they're running.
Yeah. All right, Rob Hadaway with one more. Have you ever considered on a slow news day doing the ads for the second half of the show and then cutting to 20 random minutes of David Kellum audio? It does happen. It happens from time to time. So
you've thought about that?
No, it just happens on my live show every now and then.
Really? That's a thing.
Well, because the live show is recorded from the Jackson affiliate, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when Ole Miss plays basketball, which I guess it'll happen, it might happen tomorrow, now that I think, or today, I guess, as you're listening. I don't know what time their pregame show starts, but that supersedes me. So it happened a couple times with Sports Talk on their podcast as well, like during baseball season. If there's an early game, you go to listen to the Sports Talk podcast, and it's just Ole Miss baseball.
They play at 8 o'clock tomorrow, so you're good.
Yeah, yeah. I assume their pregame show won't start. I mean, if it starts at 6:30, I don't know if it starts at 7 or 6:30.
7:30, probably.
Yeah, we'll see. So, all right.
It might be 7 o'clock start. That might be wrong. I don't know.
You could lose
half your show.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, Clark County Dog asks, if each of you could interview any wrestler or wrestling personality, past or present, who would you choose? What would you take up most of your time discussing with them? I mean, to me, the easy answer is
Ric Flair.
It's Flair, yeah. I definitely want to talk to him. And so, I mean, I would discuss his whole career. I mean, there's no limit to the material to talk with him.
And then my number two would be Vince. Like, if I could get Vince.
You can get him to be honest, yeah.
If this is going to be a candid interview, you're going to tell me everything.
Yeah.
That would be the greatest interview of all time.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I told the story on this show or not, but somebody from Ric Flair's, like one of his agents, reached out to Sports Talk about him coming on with us.
Mm-hmm.
But it was solely to promote his CBD business or his marijuana business. We weren't allowed to ask him any questions about wrestling. We weren't allowed to. I was like, what's the point?
What's the point?
Like, I mean, I'll be more than happy to let you plug your product. I'll be more than happy at the end be like, okay, so Rick, now you're into this business. Tell us what's going on there and, you know, what why, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to get some wrestling questions in. If I got Rick, that's what makes Ric Flair interesting.
That's like getting, you know, Nick Saban
mm-hmm.
and Nick Saban only gets to talk about Vrbo or what's the thing he does now?
Airbnb or Vrbo or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like no. Guys, we can't talk about his college career, his coaching career. We're only going to talk about.
So as you can see, we did not do that interview. So.
Like we can only talk to Nick Saban about his Aflac commercials.
Yeah, no. Okay. No. Last one from Clark County Dog. If you were booking Cena's final year in the company, how would you book him? Does he win his 17th and then use his retirement match to put someone over with the title? Or would you send him out with a final victory without the title, of course? He's definitely breaking Flair's record. If I'm WWE, I want the guy who has the most titles to be a guy who only won the WWE title. Like Flair won one WWE title, he won NWA, he won WCW. I want Cena is only WWE. So I want him on top.
Let him win it. Let him beat like Cody at WrestleMania.
I think he beats the other one. He beats Gunther. I don't know if he beats Gunther, but I think he wins that title.
That would be good. It'd almost be like a Rocky versus Drago.
Yeah, very theme. Much. So.
That's
yeah,
what
yeah.
I would do.
I like that, but maybe
America
maybe,
versus Germany or whatever.
I definitely do it at. I would definitely do it later, like maybe at SummerSlam.
See, I would do. He wins it at Mania. He loses it at SummerSlam.
So he gets like 3 months as the champ.
Yeah, but it's kind of late. Like I would want to be building that. Yeah. Now. But well, you
got to let him win the Royal Rumble or win the Elimination Chamber or whatever.
He can win the top. He can win Royal Rumble,
mm-hmm.
and then he makes a run for Gunther.
Mm-hmm.
They build it like you know the Clash of the Titans,
mm-hmm.
Germany versus America. He mm-hmm. really builds around that, and then SummerSlam.
You put somebody else over at that point.
I'm trying to think who, maybe Bron Breakker.
That might be a good one.
That would be a good. I don't mind that. Would be a good matchup.
I don't mind that.
Bron Breakker wins the
somebody
title.
Somebody pointed this out to me. Remember we were discussing about like WrestleMania is like Easter and SummerSlam is like Christmas. Remember that?
Yeah.
WrestleMania is actually on Easter weekend.
Yeah.
So it was Rob Hathaway. He texted me. He's like, "Did you not know?" I was like, "I had no idea." So I thought that was really funny.
Buddy, that's going to be...
It's a busy weekend for
that
you.
That could be a wild time for me.
That's also the weekend that your wife is due, right?
We could have a new baby, Super Bowl on weekend.
Baby.
I might have to tell Becky, like, if we're good and we can just schedule it,
yeah.
Well, let's just do it on Monday.
Yeah.
Let's get through the weekend.
It's a boy, you got to name it Cody.
I don't know about that.
I'll name it Dusty. Name it
I have a name semi-close to that, but I can't tell anyone.
You have a name close to Cody or close to Dusty?
Close to Cody.
Okay. It's not Colton, is it? We're not naming him after our number one fan?
No.
Okay. All right.
Colton was also, wasn't that Roddy Piper's son's name?
Is it?
I think it is. Oh. Colton. Because I remember he brought him to like WrestleMania. I
remember that, yeah. It is. That is his son's name, Colton. Wow. Had no idea.
Yeah.
All right. Steve asks, now that Zach Selman has released the plans for Davis Wade and Duty Noble, what time would you think is the timeline for completion and how much credit do we deserve? Well, obviously we deserve all of the credit. We will give none to anyone else. What's the time? I mean, he says a 10-year plan. So, I mean, I'm assuming that the final touches on that will be about 10 years from now. You'll see stuff start happening through the years, but as far as everything being done, 2035 is if it's not all done by 2035, then I'm like, all right, what the hell's going on?
The first thing you want to do is fundraise. You want to get the funds in place, capital campaign, something like that. And I figure at some point, the way that they've done business, the way that they've done announcements, things like that,
mm-hmm.
Selman loves a grand announcement. He loves like drumming it up and having a big, announcement about it. I imagine they will announce a capital campaign for the future of Mississippi State facilities or whatever, and they'll start hitting the big names, and then you can give just like you do to the State Excellence Fund, whatever. So when all that stuff happens, you really start to see the wheels go in motion.
All right. Let's see here. Cam Davis was the guy who had the question about Peters, Weatherspoon, or Molinar. So six packs peak.
Six packs peak.
peak, right? What are your views on Elon Musk and the X platform? The platform is not as good as it used to be, and I'm not a big fan of Elon Musk. What about you?
I don't have a problem with it. It's fine right now.
I mean, it's fine, but it definitely used to be better. The bots.
The fact that we've changed, the thing that really annoyed me the most is they completely screwed up TweetDeck.
Yeah.
Like they made it, you can only use it if you pay. And, yeah. You know, I kind of get where he's coming from. He's trying to make money off of it. And they were like, it was kind of like the operation was kind of shoddy.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know if this is the way to do it. And he's got all, I mean, it's just like you get a subscription for a blue check mark. That never made sense to me. Like to be verified, like anybody can do that. Like you took away completely what that was meant for.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of people pretending to be, you know, journalists and celebrities and things like that. And we had a verification system in place that told people that this is what, when this person tweets this, it matters.
Mm-hmm.
And also just don't understand why we had to change the name of the site. But other than that, I mean, it's fine. I'm not one of these people that's going to go on strike and threaten to leave for Blue Sky or whatever. And I don't think this site's going anywhere. It's still wildly used and seems to be doing fine. So
yeah, it's not going anywhere. I'm not worried about that, but it's definitely not as, it's just not as good as it used to be. There's no question about that for me. Sidelines, Hail State. Which painful encounter is more painful than Saturday's basketball game? Bitten by a black mamba, each limb tied to a rope pulling tighter until dismemberment. Ah, burned alive, none of the above. Hold on, I just want to point out that this guy is saying that a game that Mississippi State won is to be compared with being drawn and quartered or burned alive. Do you guys have any real perspective about how sports work? They won the game, and we're saying that that was as painful as being burned alive.
Appears to be an overreaction slightly.
Just a slight one. So I'm going to go with D, none of the above.
Yeah, I think that probably would line up to my thoughts on it too, especially one that State won. Even if they lost that one, I think I would prefer watching that game to having my limbs pulled until they come off my body like William Wallace.
Right, right. So there we go. Also from Sidelines Hail State, which single upgrade besides the press media upgrades are you most excited for from the 10-year plan? I think we talked about that yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Or the day before.
It was.
Did we give our thoughts?
Oh, it was Monday's show. Yeah. It was Monday. You're right.
Did we give our thoughts on our favorite part, your favorite upgrade?
I mean, I'm glad they're finally doing something with the south end zone. I guess that's probably it. I mean, the seal building. The other thing, the problem I have, the seal building isn't the huge issue. It's the fact that if you go in the seal building, it is a dump. Like, that's where we used to take. Like, why is it even there? Like, there's no pride in it. So I'm glad.
The M Club or the.
The that's also the seal building.
Yeah, I'm just
not the seal facility.
Just wanted to make sure you're talking about the same.
Although I will say, I was thinking about this the other day, like the seal building for football, right? Like the planning for that. When you walk in the front door of a building like that, you should just be like, wow, this place looks awesome. Like you walk in and it's just like there's this big video board there. And it's just like there's nothing there. It's just the video board. And then you turn to your left and there's a desk with a couple of chairs. And then they have the mannequins. Like, all the cool stuff is behind closed doors. Like, it needs a more dramatic, like, when you walk in, you're just like, wow, this is awesome. That's just poorly planned.
It's kind of getting dated a little bit. I think that's why they're wanting to upgrade it the way that they are.
Yeah. All right. Brogan Fairchild, first off, he sent us a picture here of the signed WWE Championship belt. That is awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Really, really cool. All right. Rank these fictional athletes not named Rocky Balboa, because he's the obvious number one. Apollo Creed, Happy Gilmore, Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn, Roy Dobbs, Daniel LaRusso. All right, LaRusso is dead last.
What's the ranking, like how good of an athlete they are?
Yeah, LaRusso won a regional, like a citywide karate tournament.
Yeah, but I feel like he could kill you with like the right move.
But we got Happy Gilmore won a PGA Tour event. Wild Thing pitched in the majors. Roy Dobbs played in the majors. And Apollo Creed was the heavyweight champion of the world. Apollo Creed's number one.
Yeah, probably.
And then Vaughn was a major league pitcher. I'm going to assume he had a long career.
I don't know.
I mean, we don't know. You only see 2 years of it. But, I mean, he was a good pitcher.
His control was hit or miss.
Well, he got it under control. And then I'm going to go Hobbs. And then, I mean, Happy Gilmore's a two-sport athlete, though.
He was.
He should be Hobbs.
Hockey player, too.
Yeah, maybe Gilmore, then Hobbs. I mean, Hobbs only had the 1 year. And then, last but not least, well, in this case, least, Daniel LaRusso.
There we go.
All right. With the Super Bowl coming up, what have been your favorite Super Bowl commercials? My favorite of all time is Jordan and Bird doing a horse for a Big Mac.
McDonald's.
Yeah, I love that commercial. It makes me laugh every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the frogs from Budweiser.
Yes.
I love the What's Up from Budweiser.
What's Up? Budweiser makes the best ones. The Clydesdales, they tug at your heart, and they also have like funny ones too.
The one with the dog, just like I did not need. I'm trying to watch a football game here, and I'm not trying to feel feelings.
The Budweiser's always got good ones.
Yeah, I will do a few more here. Mason Welch, who has the worst media spot in their stadium/arena?
Auburn football.
Auburn football is really bad. Texas A&M, you're up there. You're up there pretty high, but you have a pretty good view of the facility. But you're up there for sure. And, of course, it does sway when they start doing the war hymn. I'm trying to think for basketball, who's got a bad one. The one at Coleman Coliseum is not great, but that's just not a great facility.
Vandy being that crow's nest was strange.
I haven't been there, so yeah, I'll take your word for that one.
I was looking directly down on the court. I mean, the view was not just awful, but you do have like some banners in the way. And it's just not a good, like, don't take care of that area.
Pavilion seating is great where they have the media. I think that's a good spot.
Where?
At the pavilion.
Yeah, it's solid.
It's fine.
I just hate the thing that they screwed up on is there's no way to like easily get down.
Yeah, you have to go through the crowd.
It was a disaster last year trying to get to the media room because all the students are coming
students
up.
Students are coming up, and you have to go down.
Yeah. That's one thing. I don't like how people like are standing right behind you watching the games. Yeah. I don't like that.
You are kind of out in the open. I've been to Auburn for a game. I've covered a game there. It's fine. For basketball, it's fine. LSU.
The one time I went there for basketball, it was women's, and they put me at the scorer's table.
Nice.
Yeah.
I've been to LSU for a basketball game. It's fine. You're
it's
on the floor.
It's fine. It's about you're like Ole Miss.
Yeah, but you're on the floor.
It's up by the student section.
Yeah, it's I shouldn't say you're in the lower level is what I should say.
Yeah.
You're not on the floor.
Yeah.
Trying to think of where else I've been for basketball. I haven't been to Florida or Georgia.
Tennessee, I don't know where Tennessee's is now, but a few years ago, it was like right on the floor. It was like on a riser right by the floor. It was a good spot.
They're fixing to get a new stadium, but the Music City Bowl, the Nissan Stadium or the Titans, that's the best seats we've ever had. You're like on the 50, about 20 rows up. I mean, I couldn't believe. We walked in, I was like, this is our seat?
Yeah, that was great. The game was awful, but that was great.
And then I went to Kansas State when State played them. Really nice facility. That was some of the top notch food I've ever gotten. Like it was breakfast, and they had just had like a smorgasbord of food. And then after the game, they came in with the beer cart.
At Baton Rouge and football, still in the 50, but it's kind of up there.
They're up there, but it's Tiger Stadium's a big big stadium. But
yeah,
it's plenty of the food is good. There's plenty of space.
Yeah,
These are all good places. Where does Davis Wade Stadium rank against the rest of the SEC, and where will we rank after upgrades? I mean,
everybody that I talk to from other schools say that they love Mississippi State's press box.
Is he talking about the press box, or is he talking about just the stadium?
Well, I mean, I guess he could be talking about the
press box. State has the state's press box is old, but you can't beat the view. And it's open.
And people, like media members that I was talking to some people from Kentucky the other day, and they were talking about like how they love the fact that it was outdoors, basically, like it's open air.
Yeah.
Like people love that. You get to feel the atmosphere.
If you're talking about in terms of where does it rank in facilities,
maybe, it's towards the bottom.
It's between 13 and 16. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's probably still better than Vanderbilt's even after their what they do, but it's gonna be right there with Fayetteville. Fayetteville's better, I would think.
Missouri.
I haven't ever been to Missouri, but I'm gonna assume that it's not a great one. Fort Hemingway is not great. It's the way they. I love what they've done with the LED lights and all that. It's cool, but the stadium itself is not great.
It's put together poorly. It's like a kid that's putting Legos together.
Yeah.
And they had red Legos on green Legos.
They didn't have enough Legos, so they went and bought some new Legos. But those Legos don't quite match these Legos. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
They just threw it all together. Yeah. And then, like, the press box, I don't like a press box to be completely closed off like that.
I wish they would crack a window or something. I could hear the crowd a little bit. I'll tell you who's underrated is Kentucky. That's a nice facility, football. It's
I've yet to go to Kentucky for football.
Very nice. Very nice. Good people up there. All right. I will do one more here, and then we'll get into the break. Blaine Gerald asks, is it true that Thunder and Lightning and Barstool are currently in a bidding war to sign Brandon Walker? Allow me to address these rumors. No.
Well, what was the question? Who's in a bidding war?
Us and Barstool.
Yeah, I don't know if we can afford that.
Yeah, we can't afford to get into – we couldn't get into a bidding war with an actual Barstool. Let alone a bar.
You probably didn't say this, but I noticed yesterday someone asked a question for the Rumblings, and instead of tagging you, they tagged Brandon.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know who it was? I got to see. Did he respond?
Let's see. There it was. Patton Paris. Patton, who's a loyal Rumbler. Who had some good questions here? He tagged Brandon instead of you.
Hold on, I gotta see what
Pat. Just a brain fart from Patton. He probably typed in B and just clicked on the first thing that popped up. So no shame, Patton, but you tagged the wrong person.
Yeah, there it is. He's got you and him. Yeah, so I will not be answering that question because I was not.
you've made Brian angry.
I'm not angry, but it's just funny. So. Anyway, all right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the home of smoked Southern soul food. So good! So good. Love Two Brothers. Love to eat there any chance I get. Love the older brother as well. And speaking of Valentine's Day, we were talking about it earlier, they have got a fantastic deal going for Valentine's Day. It's going to be, a three-course chef's tasting menu, plenty of options, not just, you know, they're not forcing you. They got options for each thing, and they're doing it Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So if you're like, oh gosh, I want to go to baseball or I want to do something else, you got options there with the older brother. So go check that out. Make your reservations right away. If you haven't checked out the older brother's new dinner service, it is awesome, and lunch is great there too. The older brother, Two Brothers Smoked Meats, two of our favorite places in Starkville. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it for 50 years.
50, brother.
Each one more aggressive than the one before. I like that, though. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, it's the same number. It's the same people. They've already taken care of you once, and they can take care of you again. Give them a call today at 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the game this weekend, you need to make sure you make a trip to Maroon & Co. Anytime you're in Starkville, if you need Mississippi State gear, Maroon & Co. is the place to go. They have the biggest and best selection here. They can beat anybody's selection. Nobody else has the stuff that they have. A lot of great name brands, and most importantly, they have all the logos that you are looking for. The state script, the M over S, and, of course, the interlocking MSU. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're in Starkville and you need MSU gear, before you go to the game, go to Maroon & Co. All right, Matthew Watkins, warning for incoming wrestling questions. Here we go.
All right.
What is your favorite memory of the Royal Rumble?
The No Chance in Hell Royal Rumble, where Stone Cold and Vince McMahon were 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And Vince gets out of the ring, runs through the arena into a bathroom. Stone Cold runs in after him, and the corporation had attacked him in the bathroom, sent him to the hospital. And then Vince comes back and goes and sits at commentary the rest of the time and talks.
Yeah.
And then Stone Cold pulls up in an ambulance, comes out there, just obliterates him until The Rock comes out there, distracts him, and Vince wins the Royal Rumble.
Right.
That was my favorite Royal Rumble, because inside of that was, you know, China was like the first woman ever to enter the Rumble. You had Goldberg, that the entrance where he came out with the sparklers and the fire extinguishers, and then Edge immediately threw him over the top.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what else. That was a great Royal Rumble. That's one of my favorite Royal Rumbles ever.
It's a good one. My favorite memory is the Cena coming out. What year was it? 02, I think, maybe. I could be wrong. Where nobody expected him.
He was Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, and like everybody thought he was out another 3 months with injury. That's one, because he's talking about, he's like, only like 3 or 4 people knew. And like basically everybody in the Royal Rumble had been told somebody else was winning the Royal Rumble, and they had to change it when they got into the ring, basically.
That's kind of what happened with Edge in 2019, no, 2020.
Yeah.
You know, Edge, wasn't that 2020 when Edge came back?
Yeah, right before the world shut down,
We could not, I think.
We were together.
We were together, yeah. And when his music hit, we would have never expected that, because we all thought his career was over.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite moments, for sure.
One of my favorite wrestling content creators has been rewatching all the Royal Rumbles, so I think I can name every winner. How many can you think of?
A bunch.
I can think of a bunch. I mean, it's just not. First, I mean, if you just say Austin, Michaels, Triple A, you're gonna knock a bunch of them out. So
yeah, like
the unusual ones. Flair obviously has one. The first winner was Hacksaw Duggan. Big John Studd won one, I think.
Hacksaw, that was like on. I want to say that was on like closed circuit or on
that's
TV.
Before the
or
winner
something.
Got a championship shot.
Yeah,
he just won.
You just won like a bag of cash.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. You know, The Rock has won a few.
Hulk Hogan's won a couple, I think.
I think so.
The Rock, Stone Cold, Triple H, they've all won multiple.
Shawn Michaels has won.
Shawn Michaels, Edge, Sheamus, Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns has won like 3, I think.
Rey Mysterio.
Mysterio has won one. Batista has won a couple.
Batista.
So, yeah. I'm trying to think my way through the 90s.
Lex Luger
and Bret Hart
tied. Co-winners.
Yeah.
Because they had the WrestleMania double main event or whatever.
Yeah. There you go. Who do we have winning them this year? Well, we can do a little Royal Rumble preview on Friday, why don't we?
Okay.
We'll have to setting a siren off.
My gosh. I've never seen people get so triggered by
us telling them, hey, if you don't want to listen to this.
When you're giving you a heads up like days in advance.
Yeah. So we'll do a little preview. Dalton Lee, at the last Grizz game, a man called me Zach Eady looking ass. I've now been called Yao Ming looking ass and Zach Eady looking ass. Is this a sign I need to move away from Memphis so I can stop getting roasted? We've only been hit 2 times. It's not that bad. Nobody hit you with Jeremy Lin looking ass? I can't believe it.
Oh, man. That's rough.
Zach Eady. Zach Eady's 7'5". He looks like him. That's true, too. Like, Dalton Lee, you've been compared to the 2 tallest people ever to play in the NBA, pretty much. I never believed the whole Yao Ming is 7'5". Yao Ming is 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
You used to picture him standing next to Shaq.
I used to play with him on NBA Live.
Unstoppable.
And it was just like 50 a game.
Yeah.
You know, who can stop that? If he gets the ball up here, it's over.
Yeah. The Honey Badger Hell Dog. Oh, it says Allen. I should just go with that. Allen says, what's What's the one conspiracy theory you believe 100% is true? Mine is Helen Keller. Ain't no way she did all that. This whole thing that Helen Keller wasn't real kills me.
It really is crazy.
That's not the one that I believe. I do believe that, and I guess I could find out now, but that the Kennedy thing, it wasn't just one guy.
And
there's no way.
And MLK, I believe MLK was murdered by
the government.
So I think, to me, those, I don't even know if those are truly conspiracies anymore. We have so much evidence at this point, it's hard to really put it in that category. Now, back in the day, it was truly a conspiracy theory, but I just don't know if that's the case anymore. Should we do something other than those? Because those are, like I said, have evidence. I'm still very skeptical of the moon landing stuff. You know how I am.
I know.
I still believe that it happened.
Yeah.
But I think there is some doubt in place there that there was a green screen or there was a set. Not a green screen. I don't know if that was a thing back then, but that they were on a set inside a studio. I think you can convince me. You can convince me that that was true.
All right.
And you're a believer that birds are not real, that they're actually drones.
Wait a minute, that's not a conspiracy theory. That's proven fact.
We had a bird that went out and got a leaf from a tree with Noah's Ark.
Yeah,
but that was apparently a drone. Whenever the entire world was
destroyed. They got replaced in the 60s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that they existed until the 60s when the moon landing happened.
Right, connected. It's all connected.
Yeah.
I'm not going to answer this other question, Alan. That's a dark question. I'm not. I just can't. So we're moving on. Grateful Dog asks, rank these three heartbreaks. Why is everybody so negative? Why can't we just be like, hey, rank these three great moments in Mississippi State history? Nope. It's always got to be rank these times where I wanted to jump off a building.
Because that's how people feel most of the time when watching Mississippi State sports.
2013 College World Series, 2018 Women's Basketball National Title, 2017 Alabama football game. Believe it or not, it's the women's game. The national championship was in hand. It was in their hands.
And they're up by double digits.
Yeah. And, I mean, not getting a foul call there to this day. It's like they did everything but hit her with a baseball bat, and they didn't call a foul.
Yeah, South Carolina was a better team the year before. Yeah. State was gassed.
Yeah.
That was just – State just lost that. But this one, you had a national championship there for the taking.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the greatest State women's basketball team ever.
Mm-hmm.
And, they didn't play well in that game, but they were – Notre Dame could not score. And State was in good shape. And they just couldn't close it out. And then the way that it ended was just gut-wrenching. That one's probably number one. You know, the national championship in baseball, UCLA just shoved. State mm-hmm. couldn't hit.
Yeah.
I mean, that just was what it was. I think they just ran into a team that was built perfectly for that era of baseball, for that ballpark. So that the 2017 Bama is second probably for me. The national championship in baseball sucked, but I kind of came to grips with that. 2017 Bama was tough to swallow.
Yeah. All right. Nathan Kelly, who I guess we're going to see this weekend. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. If you could replace the cast of The Breakfast Club with wrestlers, who are you picking and why? Might add a caveat to this. You can't replace Emilio Estevez. He was a wrestler.
He was?
Remember? In the movie.
Oh.
He was a wrestler.
Like an actual wrestler. But then,
we got to replace the other guys. So,
Emilio Estevez is Cody Rhodes.
Okay, I can live with that.
Yeah.
All right. Becky Lynch is Molly Ringwald.
Yeah. Right.
And then, who do I want for...
What is that dude's name? The bad boy.
Judd Nelson.
Okay, that's John Moxley.
I can live with that, yeah. But who's the dork, Chad Gable or Angle?
Who?
Anthony Michael Hall.
Oh. I Who would that be?
Do we want to go like Jim Cornette?
No.
Okay.
This is like a guy's kind of like a baby face. I don't know.
But like at the same time, he's not.
The other girl is Nikki Cross.
Very good. Very good.
You know, I don't know who he would be. I can't really.
I think Chad Gable is the correct answer. Just a little bit of a dork.
Maybe so. I don't know.
And like the principal is that
the principal is like
Triple H.
Yeah, it could be. Or Vince.
Vince,
it's
yeah.
Vince.
You mess with the bull, you get the horn.
Yeah, absolutely, it's Vince.
Okay. All right.
Yep. We got most of them.
All right, good. Ford Polk, if podcast existed back then, how do you think you would have handled doing the pod from 2001 to 2008?
Oh, God.
It would have been some dark times. Are you kidding?
I mean, basketball would have some good years.
Yeah. You got a College World Series in there as well, but like
baseball wasn't great.
Football would have just been, it'd been miserable. It'd been so bad.
Football wasn't great.
I wouldn't have any access. They would have been like, you can't. We can't let this guy.
Who's oh, yeah, you'd be destroying Larry Templeton every day of the
oh,
week.
Oh, my God, yeah. What's the most random fan base to come after you on Twitter? Bills Mafia came after me 10 years ago, and I've never let it go. Second most hated team of mine beyond the Eagles. I got to know why, Ford. You got to tell us more. Robbie is a expert at getting people to come after him. Who's your most random one?
The South Carolina.
South Carolina women's basketball fans. Yeah.
Like, that was insane. And that, like, it all started because they put out a tweet that I think it was Zy Cook.
Yeah.
Was the leading freshman scorer in the SEC. And so we were sitting around talking about it at media availability. And I was like, all right, you know me, like, when I just get to the point where it's like, I got to say something. So I quote tweeted it and I said, actually, no, that would be Rekia Jackson.
Right.
And I gave the stats.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was like, I couldn't believe it. The people that started coming after me, they started like talking about my family. And so it was insane. Like, all because I corrected a factually incorrect statement. But that's the people that like, that's where I get most of my dealings come from, me just tweeting out a fact.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt, baseball,
mm-hmm.
Ole Miss fans, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
South Carolina, I've had it with Auburn before. I mean, it's Arkansas baseball, they'll come after me.
I got into an argument with some Oklahoma fans a couple of years ago. Like, this is before they joined the conference.
Like, sometimes it's just like you just randomly say something and here they come.
Yeah. Like when I randomly said something about Louisiana Lafayette. Just randomly said something, and
well, that wasn't you. Come on.
Anyway,
you would never say anything bad about the fine people of.
Never under any circumstance. I guess we're going back to this. You brought up the 2017 Alabama game last week, and I was wondering if I was the only person to see the ref throw his hat to signal that Calvin Ridley had stepped out of bounds before touching the ball, then watched him pick it up and continue like nothing happened. Nope, everybody saw it.
Everyone saw it, and we saw it on replay.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it in our nightmares today.
Ever since. Davis Holiday asks, I recently rewatched Sons of Anarchy and followed it up with starting Fargo. Have I been mixing FX for good television? Which channel company produces the best television consistently? HBO, FX, and AMC are his choices. Those are probably the top three. FX also has The Shield. They have The Americans, which
American
are
Horror a good Story.
Show. American Horror Story.
Mm-hmm.
AMC, obviously very good. That's where Breaking Bad is, and Better Call Saul, Walking Dead.
Yeah.
HBO, I think, are the undisputed champs there. I'm trying to think if there's another network that gives you like quality like TV shows like that. I'm trying to think.
Paramount Plus.
Paramount, yeah.
Is coming up.
Yeah.
This Taylor, I mean, it's really Taylor Sheridan, but they're putting out some really good stuff. They're actually coming out with, I saw this today, the Happy Face murderer, who back in the 70s, I think it was. I listened to a podcast on this one time. It was a truck driver
mm-hmm.
that would, like, for lack of a better phrase, would abduct women and kill them. And his daughter and his family had no clue he was doing this.
Oh.
So they just thought, great dad, love him. His daughter ended up finding out he was the murderer.
Oh, wow.
And there is a podcast about it that I listen to. It's called Happy Face, I think is what it's called.
Mm.
And Dennis Quaid is playing the Happy Face murderer.
So Dennis Quaid's going out, dark. That's rare. He doesn't normally do that.
It's coming out on Paramount Plus.
Might check that out.
On, let me see if I can find it.
All right.
February, where was it? March 20th.
Okay. I might check that out.
So they're hitting the hot spot right now. Paramount's getting some really good shows.
All right. Caleb Rhodes, it bothers me whenever we wear black jerseys against a team who has black as one of their primary colors, Vandy, Mizzou, Georgia. Don't get me wrong, I like all our black jerseys, but shouldn't we stick to maroon or white when we play those teams? Now, thankfully, basketball this year, the blackout games have been Pitt and now Alabama. But I totally agree. You should not wear black jerseys against a team that wears black. I totally agree with that. 100%.
Like ever. Like they never
wear. You're playing black. Missouri or Vanderbilt, you're wearing maroon or white. No question.
Yeah.
Rank these Mississippi State basketball players. Phil Turner, Ben Hansborough, Riley Beanock, Fred Thomas.
Ooh.
Turner's first. Turner, Thomas, Hansborough, Beanock. Hansborough had his best years not at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
With Notre Dame, he was better.
Beanock just, was most of the time was like spot up shooter type. So, like, I don't know, if he was well rounded enough.
I can never forget him missing that shot. I think it was against Tennessee, where State had this crazy comeback. And then the final play of the game, Jamont Gordon drives a lane. He gets everybody to collapse on him. He kicks it out. Beanock is wide open, and he doesn't get it.
That's the Mississippi State way.
It is.
Phil Turner had some really big moments.
I liked Phil Turner too. He just played hard. So
yeah.
All right, we'll go with that. Rob Montgomery, Cam Matthews, and Matthew Morrell were both class of 2020 from the Memphis area. They went home for spring break as seniors and never returned. Same class as Cade Cunningham, Hunter Dickinson, Jamin Brakefield, Devon Smith, Andy Garcia, and Derek Fountain. They have stuck it out for 5 seasons at their respective schools and played in virtually every game in their careers. That means they've now played against each other 9 times, with a likely 10th and final time in February coming. Surely this is the most anyone's ever played against each other in this rivalry, and most others as well, right?
So, didn't Matthew Morrell go to Memphis first?
Is he a transfer? He's not a transfer.
I could have sworn.
I'm thinking of Cisse.
For some reason, I could have sworn he was.
Hold on.
No, I think that's
Matthew
right.
Matthew Morrell has played his entire career at Ole Miss, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, okay.
So.
Maybe I just got caught up in
times,
being permitted.
I know that there was there's an SEC tournament game between State and Ole Miss in the Stansberry era. So. I forget exactly when it was, but if there's a senior on that team, they would have played 9, but I don't think anybody's played 10.
Yeah.
So.
Not many.
Yeah. So to answer your question, yeah, I mean, that's got to be some of the most, yeah. Everybody wants our Royal Rumble picks. We'll get them on Friday. Papa Crawdad, if we could be U.S. ambassador to any country, which one would it be and why?
Nepal.
What? Is that because we're big there?
Because we're big in Nepal.
I'm going to definitely go Europe. I'm either going to go England, Italy, or France.
It needs to be somewhere with good food.
That's what I'm thinking. Plus, with it, I'm thinking, if I'm in England, I'm in London. It's the hop, skip, and a jump to go see Chelsea whenever I want.
Yeah, that would be a cool place.
Right? Live in Rome.
Italy.
I could go to the Vatican.
Italy would be awesome.
I could get confession from the top guy.
Plus, it's like real Italian food is awesome.
Yeah. Robert St. John over when he travels. It'd be great.
I really want to go with Robert St. John on one of these trips.
Mm-hmm.
I just need money to do it.
Yeah, you definitely need money.
But I've been just like dying to go on one of those trips like, I think that that would be incredible to go see, you know, that area, eat the food and all that stuff. It's beautiful out there.
Mm-hmm.
One day I'm going to do it.
Okay. Wade Jones, what happened to DeVille Smith? So I looked him up. DeVille Smith played at State. Then he sat out a year, played at UNLV,
mm-hmm.
and then transferred to UT Martin. His final year there, he averaged just under 10 a game. Beyond that, well, let's see. Here's something from the Mississippi Free Press. And what year is this from? Oh, this is from 2012, so never mind. Beyond that, there doesn't appear to be a whole lot about him.
Really a shame, you know, he didn't work out here. Super yeah. talented guy, and I know that like he had some of his issues, but hopefully he's doing well. I don't know, but yeah, it was really a shame that we didn't get to see him for 4 years at State. I think he would have been really good.
I agree.
He showed some major flashes like early on.
Yeah,
but we just didn't get to see it come to fruition.
Kyle Wilson, thoughts on Hunt's Brothers Pizza? Where would you rank it in the top pizza chains in America? To me, it's hard to beat based on taste, value, and availability. As someone who has to work nearly every holiday, it's the go-to holiday meal. Is this Rick Mussel's burner account? Is he trying to get us here?
No. Rick Mussel's, that used to be his go-to, and then finally I just shut him down because he always talked about Starkville having Hunt's Brothers. And Oxford had significantly more locations.
Yeah. Well, he's an Alabama fan. Like, I didn't understand
why. I never understood why he was an Ole Miss guy.
Yeah.
Hunt's Brothers, like, I don't want to get the label here on Mississippi State people, but Hunt's Brothers pizza is awesome.
It's fine. Yeah.
It's to just go in there and get a pizza.
Yeah.
It's for that to be, like, your thing. It's like you just walk in there and say, hey, I want a little pizza. It's great.
It's great. Great value.
It's great. It's not like right going now to a bowling alley and getting their crappy pizza that they got. It's legit. It's good.
I'm going to tell you this right now. One of the top hangover cures in America is a greasy Hunt Brothers pizza and a Gatorade.
It's
the grease sops up all that alcohol, and then the Gatorade gives you the electrolytes. You're good after that.
Scientifically proven. My mom and dad, they've discovered this on YouTube. I've never done this. I've never had a hangover to go get a pizza in Powerade. That was just Brian.
Right.
I just want to say.
Yeah, I'm talking about me. Studies. Are you talking? Do you need me to tell Big Daddy and Juju? It's just me is who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I've read studies.
Right.
I've read studies.
Right.
This is scientifically proven that pizza and Powerade, they help that.
Yeah, exactly. Brett Christensen asks, for Mississippi State baseball to firmly cement itself back in hosting tradition, they need to do blank this spring. What are your early focal points going into the season for this squad? Brett, that's a great question. They need to win.
It's really that simple.
I don't want to tell you on that one.
I like hearing Lamontis talk about, like he did this the other day when we talked to him on Friday, talk about the importance of those midweek games. Because a lot of times people dismiss those midweek games.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of your most important games. If you lock those games down.
His first 2 years here, or his first two full seasons, 2020, you know, it is what it is. But they lost like one time. That's how you hope.
They didn't lose a single midweek game, if I remember correctly, in 2019.
And then 2019 they lost one. They lost to USM. That wasn't a midweek game.
It was a weekend.
They lost one non-conference game. Yeah, that's how you should put that. Yeah.
They didn't lose a midweek game.
Right.
And that completely solidified their resume as a top 16, top national seed.
If you don't lose a non-conference game, if you go 16-14, you're hosting.
You might stub your toe. That's fine. It's just you can't lose like three or four.
They lost what? They lost to
Central Arkansas mm-hmm. last year.
Yeah.
They lost to South Alabama. They blew a lead against South Alabama.
They lost one the week one, the first series of the year. They didn't.
Yeah.
So, and that's when you look up and you're like, they won 17 conference games. Yes, but they lost these terrible non-conference games. That is why they didn't host last year. So that's
been a huge point of emphasis for him in the offseason to his team is, guys, we can't let this happen, because they know that they were right on the verge. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they looked at when they were looking at East Carolina and State or whatever, East Carolina took care of business against their non-conference opponents. Yeah. State didn't.
Yeah.
And that's why you can't give the committee any reason to leave you out.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing for them last year. So this year they've got to take care of those games.
All right. Crop Dog asks, can't we agree college bands are part of the game in the pageantry? In case of tie games at the end of regulations, what are your thoughts on a band battle for a point and the win, kind of like an 8 mile skit? Well, I mean, that's what they did in a drumline.
Drumline?
Yeah.
Did they count towards their
No,
team?
It didn't count towards the – they didn't get any points for it.
No, I don't want the band being involved.
I like the idea of just the bands being – I like the bands. Don't get me wrong. I love college bands, but no, not involved in the game.
I don't want to put the game in the hands of the band.
Yeah. Ryan Sparks with a long question here. Since 1970,
where has Ryan been? I feel like we have not seen Ryan in a long time.
It's been a while. I saw him. Well, you didn't. You weren't at the Christmas party.
That's true.
So, since 1976, 2,384 episodes of Family Feud have aired on TV. Each episode has 3 or 4 playable surveys and 5 or more surveys for the finale. Each survey is of 100 people. That means 2,384 times 8.5 times 100. Over 2 million people have been surveyed. Excluding the U.S. population under the age of 18, that means roughly 1 out of 125 adults have been surveyed by now. 1, do you know anyone who was questioned? 2, if not, do you think the surveys are a scam, or are they surveying the same people?
That's a very good point. I don't know anybody that's been surveyed. We have no verification of this.
Yeah.
What I think it probably is in California,
where the show was filmed.
I could see them, like, the producers of the show and everybody that's involved in it, like, mm-hmm. I could see them just answering the questions. And that's it.
I agree.
And then, like, you're just like, well, we surveyed over 5,000 people or whatever. Like, well, no, actually, it was just, like, the 6 people that are writing the show in the back that came up with the questions.
I agree.
Because they're like your average people, probably. Those people can come up with some of the same answers as Joe Blow off the street.
Yeah. Jonathan says, with the new roster limits in baseball, do you expect to see more position players who can pitch being recruited going forward? Did I miss something? I thought they expanded the rosters. Like, you can get more scholarships.
They're shrinking it back down.
Oh, okay.
You can get more scholarships, mm-hmm. but they're going to be smaller rosters.
Oh, okay. I see.
But they expanded the rosters out for COVID,
mm-hmm.
and now they're trying to dial it back.
The issue with what Jonathan's asking is, how many of those people can play in the SEC? How many people are good enough to be position players and pitchers in the SEC? It's not a lot. Most of those kids are going to go to the pros.
You can see some people that kind of dabble.
Yeah, but not
– it's kind of like what – you know. I think Lemonis is going after a lot of guys like that, but it's not like specifically to bring them in to play both. It's mm-hmm. like they can do this too. You know, Drangelo Sanger was like that.
Yeah.
Drangelo was a middle infielder, and they just kept him at pitcher. You know, Nolan Stevens, we'll see what happens with him. I imagine they're going to spend more time with him hitting and in the outfield. And then same thing with Noah Sullivan. I don't know if we'll see him just a ton, but I think he might help out in certain spots. But I think that's what you'll see, is you'll just see guys that – I don't know how many guys will do what Jack Caglianoni did.
Yeah.
Or somebody like that. But it does seem to be something that's kind of become a little more popular.
Yeah.
And I've talked to kids that were, you know, top 100 players – Conrad Kaysen, like this, that just signed, that was in the last class, that it's intriguing to them to know that they could come to college and they can hit while the MLB teams are recruiting them, signing them as pitchers.
Yeah.
Like, they want that opportunity. And Lemonis, very, you know, wisely is saying, I'll give you that. If you can get a player like that on campus, you know, bring them in, see what happens.
Cody asks, should college football use a net style ranking now with the playoff expanded? I mean, they would have to make, talking about making the formula for it public. They probably should, but my guess is they probably are. It's just not available to them.
Well, they're using different factors, using the strength of schedule. That would be good to do something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, people have talked about the BCS model. Maybe they should implement something like that, a metric where you can measure out how good a team is based on their strength of schedule, mm-hmm. maybe like how balanced they are as a team, like offensive metrics and defensive metrics combined. Like, maybe that plays into it. Mm-hmm. A computer system to rank teams based on strength of schedule and like how badly they're beating opponents, things like that. That could help. I wouldn't lean on that. I wouldn't lean on it 100%, but I would definitely have it in place just for an extra measuring tool for these teams. I think it would make it a lot easier.
Mangum Cafe, Tom Hanks waited 4 years in the movie Castaway before his second attempt to leave the island. Why did he wait so long? Which direction did he go at the end of the movie? So the reason he waited so long, he tried to get off the island that one time. The boat got busted. He had no thing else. If that door doesn't show up,
he didn't have any equipment to build a boat.
He couldn't build a boat, yeah. Like, he could have built the boat that he built, but he wouldn't have had a sail.
He also was spending a lot of time plotting what he was going to do.
Yeah. Tried to kill himself, you know, too. So.
Yeah, he did. He did try to kill himself. Plus, he had that rotten tooth he had to get out of his head.
Oh, that was so painful to watch. Which way did he go? I don't think he went the opposite way. I don't think he followed the woman.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he made his own way. Brick Thomas, rank these pains: stubbing your toe, those bumps on your lip or nose. Brick, do you have herpes? What's going on here?
Sometimes you get like a cold sore, like from like wind chaps or something like that.
Okay. Or biting.
Sometimes like you'll get like an inside of your nose, you get a bump.
Okay.
You never had that? Not like a scratch, but I don't know. Like whenever your nose gets like when it's runny and it's like raw from the tissue or something, you can get those bumps.
Okay. Also says biting your tongue or your cheek. I bit my tongue so bad the other day in the car, I nearly ran off the road. Like, it was immediate regret.
If I don't wear a mouthpiece at night, I will bite my tongue. Like, because I imagine I still have sleep apnea. Like, I went and got tested for it. Went and got a like CPAP machine, all that stuff. And then I figured out, like, you can get a mouthpiece, like a mouth guard, and you wear it, and it does the same thing pretty much. So if I don't wear that, like, your body like tells you you're about to stop, or you've stopped breathing. Like, mm-hmm. your body like wakes you up.
Yeah.
And because when you have sleep apnea, you literally stop like breathing.
Right.
Or sometimes for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
When I bite my tongue like in the middle of the night, mm-hmm. that sends a jolt.
Yeah, I bet it does. Gosh.
And the way my teeth are set up, too, or my jaw or something, I bite my cheek a lot.
Mm. Okay.
Stubbing your toe is pretty bad, though.
It's bad, but it's not as bad as those other ones.
I think biting tongue and cheek is pretty
bad. Biting your tongue is the worst, yeah. It's crazy to think we cannot imagine another color. It's also hard to imagine the master plan actually being done with the current state of NIL. What an analogy. What?
It went from not being able to imagine another color to like comparing that to never having these facilities upgraded.
I don't know. Anyway, how will NIL affect the master plan? Well, I mean, it's going to be difficult to fundraise for it, but I think he obviously believes he can do it.
It's a process. That's why you say it's a 10-year deal. Like, it's not something that you do right away, you know. But I think the goal is to, and not just put it on the back burner, to start raising some funds for it.
Right.
But it will be difficult, more difficult now than it has been in the past.
I agree. All right. Buster Vaughn asks, if you were a basketball player, what would your good luck charm be? Like Cam Matthews' hair or Michael Jordan's shorts? Michael Jordan's shorts were his good luck charm?
He wore, maybe, I think this is correct. He wore like some North Carolina shorts or maybe a North Carolina shirt or something underneath or something like that. He wore something, I believe, from North Carolina underneath his regular uniform.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's right.
I don't know. I don't necessarily know what I would do for my. I mean, you can't just pick your good luck charm, right? It has to be something that you were wearing or had on you, and you had good luck, and it becomes your charm. You can't just say, "Hey, this was my good luck charm," and it's. You can't do that.
He did wear his North Carolina shorts underneath his Bulls uniform.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yep. You know, when I was in high school, like, I used to wear high socks, like knee-high socks.
Okay.
And that I considered those, like, kind of my lucky socks.
Okay. Let's see here.
I was trying to be like Pete Maravich without the floppy part of it. I pulled them all the way up to my knees. And those were his lucky socks, those floppy socks that he kind of scrunched up. That's what I did, except for I pulled them all the way up.
Gotcha. Joel Pettit, ranked the greatest player that committed to MSU but never played here. Roy Oswalt, Travis Outlaw, Jonathan Bender, Monte Ellis, Austin Riley. For a laugh, you could add Cam Newton.
Gosh.
It's none of the above. I know who my choice is.
Keyshawn Johnson. Would he be ahead of some of those?
He didn't just commit. He signed.
Yeah, that's true.
If you really,
he would be up there.
If you want to put, I mean, Cam Newton is the correct answer, but he never publicly committed to Mississippi State. I mean, Outlaw was a good NBA player. Bender was a good NBA. Of those three, Monte Ellis is the best player.
Yeah. I still think Monta on that 2006 team, whatever team that was, 05, 06 maybe. I think it changes everything. Him with Jamont Gordon.
Yeah.
Some of those guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Travis Outlaw would have been on the, would it be 01, 02?
Yeah, he'd have been there with him and Mario Austin on the same team.
He would have been on that team that won the SEC tournament.
Yes.
I believe.
Yeah.
So that would have been legit. Nursey. Yep.
Yeah.
They would have Bowers was on that team.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. Last question from Dugout Dog, who says, I recently had the opportunity to lead 20 eighth grade boys for a church event where they stayed over at a church member's house for 2 nights. It went how you would expect. Do you have any horror stories from kids staying the night at your house? I haven't had a big group stay at my house, I don't think.
Yeah, that's the classic D-Now.
Yeah.
I imagined that's what that was. I haven't gotten to the point in life where I've hosted, you know, 10 teenage girls yet. That time's coming and I'm dreading it like the plague whenever my daughter gets into junior high or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to even think about that at this point. But I've had many a D-Now weekend, like where I was a part of it, and I can imagine the hell we put these parents through hosting all of us. Especially me.
It's a Christian thing, and you're given these kind of problems. What's going on?
The biggest problem children are the youth group kids. I don't know if you've ever been around, you have. You've been around a preacher's kid for the last
few years, yeah.
Like 10 years probably.
Yeah.
So you know how it goes.
Yeah.
But it can be, we used to have, the worst thing is the lock-in, where you drop all the kids off at church at like 6 o'clock. And you stay there, and you're just playing games and stuff.
Yeah. It's great the whole night. 9. Yeah.
There was at one point, like, I found a room at our church and I just like I snuck away from the pack and I just went in there and laid down.
Yeah, smart.
And laid on the ground.
So I think I don't know if I've told this story before, but my senior year of high school, the first day of two-a-days, our coach decided we were going to stay the night at the school.
Terrible idea.
So we have practice in the morning, go home in the afternoon, come back for the evening practice, and then we're going to stay the night. So practice ends. We all shower and get changed, right? And we have a cookout. So we had steaks. It was great. We watched a movie, which for some odd reason was Fletch Lives. I'll never forget that. Like, why the hell are we watching Fletch Lives? Whatever. So two things.
Chevy Chase.
We're staying in the gym, which in 1993 was not air conditioned. So our locker room had a wall unit in there. So mm-hmm. the seniors, of thank God I was one, we claimed it. We're like, that's us. You guys stay out here. So we're just like, we put some mats down in the locker room. It stinks in there. But, it, you know, and it's not cool in there, but it's at least cooler, right? So everybody else is out in the gym. And I could barely sleep. And I just remember hearing this massive boom at one point. And I was like, and I looked over at one of my buddies who was the other offensive tackle. And I just said, whatever it is, man, we know it's not good. So we go out there. There had been a fight with one of the other seniors, and this other guy got into a fight, and he had power bombed him. Like the underclassman power bombed him into the gym floor.
What?
Like Kevin Nash style. Got him up and threw him down. They sent him to the emergency room because he thought he had a concussion or whatever.
Oh, gosh.
So, like, coach pulls us all. It's like 3 a.m. Pulls us all in there, and he's just going. He's like, it's like the damn Lord of the Flies in here. I'm just shaking my head like, this was such a terrible idea. Why did we do this? Get up the next morning.
The Lord of the Flies.
Coach is like, I canceled practice today. We'll come back tomorrow morning. I was like, and I said something. I was like, Coach, God knows I don't really want to practice, but do you think it's good for us to skip two practices? We only have so many. He's like, we got to do it. Just take the day off and we'll come back tomorrow. Because nobody got any sleep.
That was a terrible idea.
A terrible idea. I still can't get over the fact we watched Fletch Lives. Like, what? Who picked this movie?
The stuff that like we used to do the movie nights of football. I remember when I was a kid, like I was a water boy for the football team, and my sister's boyfriend was like my hero, mm-hmm. and he like got me to come up to the Thursday night before the games. They had movie night,
yeah.
And Will Rogers' dad was the head coach,
yeah.
And we watched Blue Streak. Like in the locker room, like it was just, like why is that the movie?
Why
like,
is that one the time movie they watched, you picked?
The one time they watched the program, and that great, better that choice. Was a great idea.
Yeah,
but Blue Streak, never understood it.
The program came out when I was a senior in high school, and I'll never forget we were playing. I forget exactly who it was, but I remember looking across the field and they were spitting in each other's mouths, and I was like, no. Y'all have taken this movie way
too far. This is one trend we do not need to take away.
We're not following that trend. So
if you want to paint your face with war paint,
feel free.
Yeah,
that's it. You want to talk smack to the other guy? That's fine. But I'm not spitting in anybody's mouth, and certainly no one's spitting in mine. All right. On that note, we'll call it a day. Don't forget to check out that interview I did with Emily Smark previewing the Mississippi State-Alabama game. Tomorrow we'll recap that game, obviously, after it happens. Plus, we'll continue our talk about Mississippi State baseball. Robbie talked about the pitching rotation on 3. Check out that article if you haven't already. And we'll talk a little bit more about who's going to be throwing the ball this year for the Diamond Dogs. Back with you guys tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.